Gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, we're joined by Brother Johnny, my brother, and also Hall of Famer Mike Ditka, icon, all-around great guy. Great to have both of you. Johnny is in
Houston. Texas.
Houston. Mike, you're in Chicago?
I am, yes.
All right, let's start with the big game. The Saints hosting the Bears. Brian Urlacher's mother dies at the age of 51. Not sure the reason, but it looks like he will play. But it's a tough game, Mike. The Bears looked awfully good in week one.
Well, the Bears are a good team, guys. They won our division last year. They do a lot of good things on defense and special teams. They played good offense the other day. They put the screen pass working and, fairly good protection. Not the best, but fairly good protection for the quarterback. He made pretty good decisions. Only had one interception. And they did. They look good. I mean, they destroyed Atlanta. Atlanta was supposed to be a good team.
So I think you're right, Mike. I also think, there's a lot of intangibles. We're 0-2, Steve. They're going to play the defensive game of the year. The Cutler, we could rattle him. The dome's loud, but our defensive line isn't that good. Mm. I don't know that we can rattle him. And he can play a good enough game to where the defense I envision with this situation with Urlacher, forget about it. Yeah. So that's why you don't want to get that first Super Bowl champ away draw, because you don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year. Good news for the Saints. All our division lost. Worst case, we're one game back. We have a chance, but, Mike, I thought we had a good draw for that Bear game and this thing. It's hard to play. I'm sure he wants to play. His mom would have wanted him to play. The team's going to rally around him, and they're too good when you add that in there, I think, to beat. So I think I'm going to have to pick the Bears.
Really? Really?
One thing in this thing, John and Steve, the Bears have to score points. Now, Green Bay, the Saints are going to score points. Saints offense is, they made a pretty good defense up in Green Bay look bad, but they're going to make a lot of defenses look bad. That's a good offensive football team. Their problem is, can they slow the Bears' offense down? The Bears' offense, don't forget, is not Green Bay's offense now. And if they can slow it down and put some points on the board, they got a chance to win. I picked the Bears to win only because, I don't know. I'm really not even sure why I picked them, except that I think the Bears are doing something good this year. I think they're on the right track.
Mm. Well, you're right about Saints' offense is good, but so is Atlanta's, and Matt Ryan got shut down. I'll tell you what, I was just amazed.
I think what the Saints do a little bit better around, they'll get a few more mismatches. I mean, they played the two coverage, the Bears, they dropped deep, but they put some pressure on Matt Ryan, too, so there'll be enough man-to-man coverages, so they'll be there. And, Matt Ryan's a good football player, but he's not Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. The NFL.
So I'll be there, Steve. I'm going.
You're going to be in your spot. You have a good vantage point, and it's going to be loud, and the Saints are good, so we'll have it up here. I'm looking forward to watching the football game.
It'll be a good game.
The NFL wants all fans patted down from the ankles up this season to improve fan safety. What's the reaction from you, Johnny?
I repeat the question, Steve. Improve fan safety?
Yeah. He wants the pat down from the ankles up, all fans.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the justification is because we haven't. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think they check much. I will say that. I don't think there's a real serious check when you go into these games. But, I don't know, Mike. That's tough. I don't think it'll stop that many people from coming, but it'll sure slow things down.
Well, they're expecting punishing lines and ask fans to be patient and arrive earlier.
Yeah, I didn't.
It would be impossible to do. First of all, you're going to have a labor force. You're going to have to double your labor force, triple your labor force to be able to do it. I don't see how it's possible to get everybody into the game. Now, that's only my opinion. I mean, and I'm not sure, the bad thing is right. I would say that, you do, if you want to really do this right, it's going to cost a lot of money. You do the scanners and you put them in all the stadiums that they have in airports.
I agree with that, Mike. I think it's just a waste of time anyway. The ankle pat, you might miss something that way. If you really want to just shut her down in terms of anything but airport security, then that's where you got to go. And I don't know how that'll fly. I don't know what to say about that, Steve.
Well, what happened, of course, it comes down to like one guy, just like the shoe bomber makes us take off our shoes now. One guy from South Carolina got into the Jets-Dallas game with a stun gun and was using it on other fans. So, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They ought to take that guy and they ought to strip him buck naked, tie him to a diesel sun gun on him.
There you go. And then all of us can just keep going to the game like we've been.
I know.
And now you're going to do that to all the college games, Steve?
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Other people.
Yeah, it's just crazy what we do. And again, trying to keep people safe. But one wacky guy, and every one of us got to, 16.6 million people have to get in line because of the one idiot that brought a stun gun.
Well, it'll never work.
Well, and I think that's a fiasco. So are they starting that this week? What, do I have to get there early? What's the deal?
Yeah, again, they're asking for fans to be patient. Yeah. What's that?
You got to go today, John. Go today.
Go today, Johnny. Get in line today. All right. Let's move to politics. There's a lot going on in politics with all of the debates and Rick Perry getting pounded. You've met Rick Perry, Johnny, haven't you?
Yes, I have. He's seemed like a nice guy. I mean, I actually talked to him a little while, but I wouldn't say I know Rick, but fine. So they all kind of ganged up on him because he was winning, but I don't know. He's holding his own. He's going to slip a little, but I don't know. It looks like it'll be Perry and Romney. Romney seems to me to be doing a little better than I thought he would at this point. Like, he's holding pretty tough.
Well, let me ask you a question, guys. Who would you rather be in a foxhole with, Mitt Romney or Perry? Come on. I mean, it is, the criticism of Perry isn't for one reason. He's become the front runner.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to take shots at everyone. Now they're going to talk about his college education after he's governed the state of Florida
State of Texas.
Come on.
Yeah. Let me get your
pathetic what goes on. But, you know, that's life. You understand it. It's just pathetic. And it's embarrassing that we look at things this way in our society, but they do. But, Kerry, I hope he gets a nomination. I think it'd be one hell of a run. I think he says what he means. And, you know, and the thing on Social Security, he's right. What's the point? Essentially, he's right about that. So why be just I'll beat it to death. Well, he's right about it.
Well, he looks like a president. And I haven't heard him that much since he decided he'd run. But I think that if we choose a good candidate, and I think he's won, then I think the Republicans have a really good chance of winning this election, Steve.
I think isn't the feeling that, you know, I'm not comfortable with John Huntsman or Ron Paul, but any of the other six, whatever, I'm fine as long as they win, right? That's the goal.
Well, I think that's
you guys aren't bad either. You mentioned, here's the thing: you got to have one strong candidate. The party's got united behind the candidate, and you got to push it. Yeah. The other guy still has, you know, he's 45% approval rating. You know, I don't know why, but he does. But there's always that liberal group out there. No matter this guy could, no matter what he did, they could find no harm in him. So it is what it is, and there's a lot of people like that that believe that he has done a good job as a president when he's done a horrible job.
All right, let me get your reaction to what John Stossel, Fox News, said. He quoted the president being on the campaign trail essentially for the jobs bill and saying, pass this bill over 90 times this week. He gets a very friendly crowd, so the crowd really gets into it. He said, the president is wrong. Hiring doesn't come from new laws. It comes when government gets out of the way and leaves all of us with simple and predictable rules. True?
Yeah, that's true. I think it's a catch-22. The president wants to mandate jobs, but the paperwork it takes to create jobs that way actually eliminates jobs. So it's simple and easy. Let the free enterprise system work, and someone's going to think of an idea that can make our life better and hire people to do it. And that's how we've gotten here. And centralization of big government isn't a good idea, and it hasn't really ever worked. And we just keep heading in that direction. And I think we should change directions.
Well, that's what happened back with a couple guys named Washington and those guys way back when, Jeffrey. I mean, that's why we got away from that. You know, in other words, being ruled by the English at that time, that now what the government's, they're in every aspect of your life, and that's not what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to do that, and they're doing that. And that's, you know, and I guess maybe there's people that find comfort in that, but I don't find comfort in that.
Yeah.
I don't find comfort in people that I don't think are qualified ruling in Washington, period.
You're right.
From top to the bottom.
That's what Trump was saying, that our leaders are horrible. Our leaders are horrible with Trump. And I'll tell you something, Steve. It's very interesting. I was watching Fox News, but here comes Diane Sawyer on Fox News advertising a two-hour special about Jackie Kennedy and some tapes that Carolyn just released about her talking about those 2.5 years where Kennedy was the president. And it was very, very interesting. She didn't talk about the assassination of Kennedy. She talked about Johnson and Hoover and De Gaulle and Gandhi. And you got an insight into a completely different mentality and a completely different time, which it was. But there's something else that it struck me that we probably have not recovered. Our country has not recovered from the assassination of John Kennedy. Mm. Not maybe so much because we lost Kennedy, but on face value, he's, I think, twice the president that Barack Obama has been. But because what happened that day that is in our history books didn't happen. And we don't know exactly what did, but since then, we've lost our way because we've taken a different philosophy, which is, if we intend the right thing and we really want to help people, then the truth doesn't matter. And that is not the case.
Hmm.
So I was with somebody yesterday. You know, they froze all the tapes on this because you brought it up, the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
I saw a tape yesterday. I saw in slow motion. I saw it every way you could see. They showed it to me. It shows the driver shooting Kennedy. He reached into his pocket, pulled out a gun, just turned around, and because the bullet hit him in the front of the head, guys. You could see that.
There's no question about that.
This is a tape that supposedly got out that shouldn't have got out. It shows the driver. I'm sitting there saying, I'm mystified. I'm amazed. I mean, I don't know if it's true, not true. If it's a tape that's been dummied up, I don't know what it is.
But if what we've been told happened didn't happen, then what did is the question. And I'm afraid it could have been a massive conspiracy to the highest levels. And those are what became our leaders that shaped our future.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in it. And I think it's kind of like, you know, when you're if you were abused or had a trauma, you need to go back and get through what happened. That's just a revelation that I had watching that show. Very interesting, by the way, with her kind of very candid, honest insights. And she was quite the great American lady, by the way. So.
Jackie. I've never heard anybody say it quite like that, Mike, where you're talking November 22nd of 1963.
Guy's running it on his computer, and he's showing me over and over and over. This is my radio show. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I don't know. I guess people are capable of doing anything. But this is really amazing because it's not perfectly clear, but you can see the guy reaching his front pocket, turn around, and the gun goes off, and then you see the head fly, you know. So I don't know. I'm just telling you.
I wonder if we'll ever get to find out all the – get all the questions answered, Johnny. Will they ever release everything in our
Life? I think maybe someday. I think we need to know that. I think it's changed the way we live. I do. I think it's connected to the president this year saying that the health bill did not pay for illegal aliens' health care, which it did.
Yeah.
That wasn't true. And the guy who said you lie was the one that's disparaged.
Yeah.
The good guys are the bad guys. The bad guys are the good guys. We don't know which end is up. And he was the one that was out of line saying you lie just because the president didn't tell the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
All right, we're going to take our break, guys. We'll be right back in just a moment. Right back with Johnny and Mike here in our final remaining moments, 93.5, 95.3. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka on the new Connect FM. All right, three other items I really want to get to. Number one, the Solyndra, the whole solar thing, and what the White House knew and didn't know regarding $500 million that probably should not have been loaned to this green company. Number two, what the heck was going on with the general who says, this is a 4-star general, came out this morning, said he was pressured to alter congressional testimony to favor a broadband company supported by the White House and also a contributor to Barack Obama. And finally, this Attack Watch. This is a new website. It's creepy. This is where you're supposed to tattle and tell on everything. It feels like the Gestapo or something. It's about Barack Obama's website, Attack Watch, where you tell if you hear anything bad, and we'll check it out. It just feels so Stalin and Hitler-like to have these. I don't know, guys. There's three things there.
Well, I don't know about the Attack Watch other than you're going to get people throwing things out that aren't true because they can by just typing stuff in. That's not a very good idea. But the company that they invested in, it just was an example of not understanding free enterprise or being able to really monitor anything and just guessed wrong. And 500, man, I wish I had $500 million.
Yeah.
And I'd build something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we could stay in business. But as far as what Obama knew, I think you get a lot of, I mean, through the years, I think everybody tends to try to support their supporters. I don't know where the line of corruption comes, Mike. Where do you cross that line? But you're going to naturally have your friends around you, and they're going to be your supporters.
This company evidently was one of these green companies. So, you know, this is the do-gooder thing. You're keeping up with this so-called politically correct people, the green thing. You give away $500 million give it away to the wrong people for the wrong reasons. It's just hard for me to comprehend. I'm sorry, you know, I'm fed up with the politicians. They profess one thing, they do another thing. And who are we? Where's our honesty in this country? There is not a whole lot. Anybody lies to anybody about anything, they get anything. So it kind of gets ridiculous after a while.
And that's right. Honesty's key, Stephen. I just think it's a kind of a sign that, maybe our administration doesn't really know how jobs can be created, given X company, $500 million won't necessarily work because that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Supporting a well-managed company like that with capital will work, but you have to know which ones those are. And obviously this is embarrassing because they've picked one out and it flopped. And that does happen every day with venture capitalism. But it's nothing the government needs to get involved with because it'll happen a lot more if the government tries to pick out the winners and losers in free enterprise, because they'll generally be slanted towards their supporters, which is not relevant to whether the company's going to make it.
All right, final thought, and I want to go back to your premise about 1963 and that the country's been on the wrong track ever since. What if, let's just assume there was a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy, and at that time, everything came out, there was, in fact, a conspiracy, all the bad guys were brought to justice was served. How would the country have looked in the 60s? Would it have been different in Vietnam? Would it have been different culturally? Would it have been different with integrity?
It would have been completely different. It's my opinion, Lyndon Johnson knew all about it, so that would have meant the Speaker of the House, I don't know who that was in 1963, but probably Tip O'Neill would have been the president. So, yeah, things would have been different, and but we'll never know. I mean, of course it would have, because the leadership, as we've seen in our lifetimes from the President of the United States, shapes the entire history of the world, in all honesty. It's an extremely impactive position. So, of course, it would have been completely different. I think it would have affected the whole Vietnam situation and the 60s, Mike, which were a turning point in this country's history.
The one thing, though, John, we'll never know. You're probably right, but we'll never know. And the 60s were, we went through them. They were pretty interesting times, let's face it.
Well, people were doing all the drugs and the free love and all. It was just crazy time. Crazy time.
I didn't smoke it. It felt good to do it. Let's face it.
Yeah. Well, how do we get it back, Johnny? How do we bring that back to that feeling of saying right is right, wrong is wrong, common sense is common sense?
Well, we know that. I think we just have to hold the line. I don't think you can pick on that guy, Joe. I can't remember his last name.
Joe
Wilson calls a guy a liar because he was not telling the truth. You can't pick on him for that. You can say, well, that wasn't very diplomatic or tactful, but Mr. President, he's right. And then the deal was, oh, I didn't know that. Well, his responsibility when he presents what's in the bill to us is to know it. So maybe he wasn't viciously lying, but he should apologize to Joe. Remember, they wanted him to apologize to the president. And so that's one thing you can just hold the line on, just those little things, because you let that go, and then you let this go, and then before you know it, well, you can't tell them that because they'll get upset. And then you're just making stuff up, and you're living in a false reality. That's
well, I guess freedom of speech is a one-way street. It depends on whose freedom it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys, we'll leave it there. We'll talk again Monday after the big NFL and college football weekend. Always fun and interesting and compelling to talk with both of you. Thank you so much, as always.
Great talking to you, Mike. Thanks, Stevie.
Brother Johnny in Houston, Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon from Chicago, 93.5, 95.